Senior Brad.
Hello, Joe.
How you doing today, buddy?
Good. I'm not getting anything on my... Oh, there we go. Usually I hear a little bit of myself. Now I couldn't hear myself.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah.
No. Got it.
Can't hear myself talk.
Yeah, I got to have that, man. That's what we do it for, right?
Yeah. I'm having a... You know, we were just talking about, like, both of us had, like, this nervous feeling this weekend. I was listening to the guys on the All In Pod shilling Solana, and then they immediately go into, you know, the financial issues and everything else. So, inflation, stagnation, world coming to an end, all that shit. And so I was, I was feeling a little bit of that and wondering if this Evergrande thing was going to happen and knock us off. And, you know, support doesn't look great across the board. And I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I was feeling it too. And I did a couple. I just basically paid back some of my borrowings on Aave and Geist to get my health factor up around 6.
Nice.
Just so in case anything I cut in half, I wouldn't get liquidated. But that meant I sold a little Matic because I just feel like Matic's topped for some reason. I see Phantom and Avalanche going, and I just don't know how much higher Matic, you know, could go. So
yeah,
I just dim a little. I'm up like, 8 or 9x, dimming. So, you know, that's where I made the move, paid off some loans. But I held everything else. Poker Bridge is going great. All the other stuff seems to go. But, you know, I think I'm just feeling nervous because, I just can't. It's, again, the macro factors around this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you said, inflation, which should feed us, you know, should boost crypto or Evergrande or the stock market.
The problem is while it should boost us, you just never know how these yokels in this market are going to react. You know, I mean, that's the thing, right? You know, we always end up tied to, you know, every token tied to Bitcoin and Bitcoin tied to S&P, whatever.
Yeah.
So, and so I think that's the thing. It's for us, it's like, it's the unknown of what's going to happen. I think that makes me kind of more nervous or worried or whatever. I actually was seriously considering, I thought, you know, if this Evergrande thing hits and we have problems, maybe I should just bail on everything for a couple of days and then come back in later. Right. But of course I didn't, but you know,
I've been thinking that too, just because, you know, it's stressful watching, you know, 25 things for a year straight. You know? And it's just burning me out, man. It's just burning me out.
How do you keep track of everything you're in?
Well, you know, with DeFi, I don't keep track of it as well as I probably should.
Me either. I built a spreadsheet over the weekend because I realized that was part of my problem.
Yeah. I mean, I go in once a week to this spreadsheet I used and kind of just go through everything I have to see where I am, just to kind of go, oh, okay, yeah, I'm up, kind of thing. And if you start feeling like panicky, but, you know, to me, it's like with the DeFi, you know, part of the strategy to me is that when things are dumping, you hang in there and you pull up the tokens into huge quantities and then you pull. So when things go up, then you're rebasing from that higher volume or higher number of tokens
right, on
the next upswing. But, you know, I mean, and then I go back and I think, shouldn't I just be like forgetting about this shit and just letting it ride? And, you know, I can't really do that. Maybe with stable coins I could, but still, I don't even like that because of all the, you know, potential issues with the Tether. And I don't even want to repeat all the bullshit, but, you know, I just, who knows what happens there.
Yeah.
In an Evergrande situation. So I kind of basically pulled out of a lot of pools, put it all in spot, staked the PBR and single token staking.
When you say you put it all in spot, what do you mean?
Oh, just holding it in my wallet or putting it on Aave and borrowing against it. Not in a liquidity pool.
Right.
But some of it's in single token staking. PBR, Poker Bridge is in single token staking. defines in single token staking, you know, just kind of because I built the stacks, like I pulled out of the Geist pool just because that's been, you know, going down so fast. And I just staked all, you know, I have like 4 times the tokens I started with. I just staked it. So now I'm just letting it ride.
Cool.
But then I don't have to worry about it. So I'm just trying to get to the holiday season. So I have to sit there like looking at this shit all the time. And
I love the holidays, Christmas, while you're still checking shit.
Yeah, it's horrid.
So over the weekend, my buddies at Crystal pinged me because they launched some pools on the Kronos blockchain, which is the crypto.com blockchain. So I plopped in with $1,400 on, I don't know, it was late Friday night, early Saturday morning, and, you know, up $630 on this this 11.93% daily pair.
Yeah, I looked at those. Somebody in the chat was talking about them, and Kronos and crypto.com, and I just kind of just didn't want to dive in.
I decided to dive in on this one just because when I dove in, it was at 20% daily. And I'm like, even if this VVS token, it's another swap site in the Kronos network, even if this thing takes, you know, 20% a day, earning 20% a day of these tokens, I might as well. And it's auto compounding. And so I'm up, you know, what is that? 40 something percent at this point. So
yeah,
I'll take it.
Hell yeah. No, I mean, I always feel like those pools go great. And then until people start dumping.
Yeah, and, of course. You
know, so it's sort of like, I kind of like I pulled out of the Crystal pool, those Zuki Matic one, just because I knew the Matic to do other things with it. But, you know, I just kind of am sort of feeling a little bit of saturation in the DEX space.
A little bit.
Yeah, and just trying to figure out, like, how many of these can last?
Yeah. So, well, here's the entire chain. The entire chain is 532 million, right? And 473.22 million of that is VVS Finance, which is the pair I'm in, which is the swap site, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Auto Farm's in here. And then this is it. This is the only thing supplying TVL. Like, this is fresh. This is virgin territory, this Kronos blockchain. You know, I will say this. The crypto.com, the new commercials they put out over the weekend, I went and saw Eternals last night with my son because, you know, we're total Marvel nerds here, especially him. And pretty good flick. I gave it like a 7.9, but it makes me want to see what they're going to do with the storyline. It's a pretty cool storyline. But shit, there was a reason I was telling you I went to see Marvel last night. I'm losing my mind, Joe.
Money.
Yeah. So crypto.com has their 2-minute ad running before the movies. With what's his name? What's that actor's name? Somebody famous, and I don't remember names. So.
No, I don't. I've heard him mention. I can't remember. It's one of those guys like Jake Gyllenhaal.
Here. Fortune favors the brave, right? But. You know, it's impressive. It's impressive what they're spending to market.
Matt Damon,
that's it. It's impressive to see what they're willing to spend and how much they're trying to saturate and grab hold of the market, right? Which obviously I think would then potentially bode well for their blockchain. I don't know whether it'll gain traction or not, but if they are signing up a lot of new users, it does give you, you know, some opportunity there. Now, what's interesting is I don't see anything about Kronos mentioned here. Am I like assuming it's crypto.com and it's not?
Oh, no, it is crypto.com.
Oh, it is. Okay. I just want to make sure I'm like not sitting here going off about. Earning a little cash. I'll keep an eye on this one. I like the idea that they have a big onboard ramp and that they're giving me money. So,
yeah, no, I mean, I would be in that on any other, 2 weeks ago, I would have been all over it. I'm just kind of like, I need to take a pause over the weekend. And so,
Well, I started this, like I said, on Friday night or Saturday morning. And so I didn't start getting that unsettled feeling until yesterday. So, you know, that's I'll let this ride a little bit longer and take my profit. But so anybody that is interested in checking it out, it's Kryst.Crystal, CRYSTL.finance/vaults. But the guys at Crystal have, you know, they saw an opportunity. They dove in fast. Now, here's what's interesting. They're not being picked up in the DeFi Llama list. So they need to get in touch with DeFi Llama to get some of their TVL recorded. Where are they? Yeah, they got 3.5 million, you know, in a couple of days. Not too bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's like when I was looking, I mean, like Cometh has basically 10. I think Crystal's got about 10 in TVL. So there's a lot of small ones that are going. And, you know, what I like about Kronos or this one is that it is crypto.com.
Yeah.
So crypto.com banks a lot of the outside the US people where they can stake and have credit cards and things like that. So it's got a, you know, a lot of legs. I mean, there's a lot of people there that could play in this space from crypto.com.
All right. So let's analyze this. Why is the crypto.com/VVS pair have 1.7 million in TVL with an 8.75 or 1887% trillion percent yearly? And the USDC VVS only has 197,000.
I think because they're probably not wanting. I would think, wait, which one has more? I'm sorry.
The crypto.com, I think the WCRO is the crypto.com wrapped token with VVS, right? It has 1.7 million in TVL, whereas USDC VVS only has 197,000.
Well, probably because Chrono is the crypto.com token, blockchain token or whatever.
Right.
And so all the founders there are holding it in this liquidity pool. Is my guess.
Ah, that makes sense.
You know, wouldn't want the founders to sell it to buy USDT.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's a really good guess there, Joe. That's brilliant. Yeah, I like that. I like how you're thinking.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would do.
Yeah, so, makes total sense.
Yeah,
makes total sense.
Because if that USDC pair, that's where everybody wants to be. But
hell yeah,
there's so much different. So
yeah. No, that's crazy.
Hey, are you still in? You still in Scarecrow?
No. No, I haven't been Scarecrow's for a week.
Yeah. What about I heard a new one on Phantom called Vampire Swap. I think it's like
I haven't seen
go
it.
Around. Maybe there was some
Vampire dot swap or just Vampire. Oh, let me just
hold on. I'm running on both windows over here. So let's see. I got, and it's not Vampire Protocol, it's vampireswap.org.
Vampireswap.org.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at it, but I saw it in one of the channels.
That's what they call what Tsuchi did to Uniswap, a vampire attack. Vampireswap.org. All right, here we are. Swap to earn. Not the first dex on Bat Phantom, but with more developed and highly competitive features. Swap, farming, vaults, trading contest, launch pad, referral, and more. Wow, that's a lot all at once there, gentlemen. Okay.
It's just another one, but I don't know what they're doing differently.
Oh. Yeah. I guess I have to go here to trade. There's no enter the apps. Oh, that's dark. That's like really hard to see.
Yeah.
Let's see. All they have is pools, I guess. No yield farming. Let's take a look. Oh, okay. So they're not doing much yet.
No, just got going. So keep an eye on it. See if anything interesting pops up.
Yeah.
But the good news I had over the week, well, PBR, Polka Bridge, got listed on KuCoin today. So
nice.
That was running up all weekend. It's at like, I don't know, I haven't looked in an hour or so, but it was at like 3:20 earlier this morning.
Sweet.
And they have an interesting feature there now. So what I did is I pulled out of all the pools and I staked all the PBR on their site for a measly 25% interest. But you get access to all the IDOs coming. There's a whole field of IDOs on Polka Bridge, like really cool play to earn NFT games and things.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah. So go to it's on. I connect on Polygon with that one, but look at there's a launch pad up there.
Yeah, I just clicked on it. Oh, look at that.
So the ones I thought both PlayerMon and TryHards look pretty cool because they're games.
Right.
Play to earn games. One has a combat element. But they're also deploying NFTs into the
nice.
Game.
Nice.
So I figure, you know, this is a startup space. You come in. So I only staked 500 here, 500 PBRs. But you know, the allocation is like, you know, about 150 Matic. So you buy with Matic on the Polygon ones. And then obviously there's some with BNB. And then there's some with Ethereum. But, you know, it's kind of like there's a big spread on the old ones between the private sale and the public sale.
Right.
So I think that you could just double your money getting it on the private sale and dumping it on the public.
Yeah, hell yeah.
But, you know, a lot of the play to earn game stuff I'm kind of interested in right now because I think that's the next wave.
When they say Launchpad, this is like pools that will launch with these tokens when they launch. That's the idea here.
I guess they're going to do some pools with them.
Okay.
I don't think I'm in any pools. There's no pools on that site, I don't think, because I think the only ones I saw were QuickSwap and Define. But I think they're more like, you know, like a fundraising event.
Got it.
You know,
so it's IDO. Like a sale.
Yeah. So basically you could go to, with your company there, not you, but I'm saying anyone can go with your idea, your company, and you could apply to do a token sale.
Right.
Or a liquidity generating event, whatever you want to call it. But it looks, you know, this is the one that's kind of in that in between all the blockchains space.
Right. Right.
And but really lots of access to Solana, and I think Dot's coming or is there. I think they're integrating into Moonbeam or something like that. But I figure, look, they're getting all this traffic on these upcoming, you know, pools or upcoming launches.
Yeah, so, take a piece.
Yeah, so I'm just jumping in a couple of these. I thought that SolClout, SolClout, looked pretty good on Solana, another launchpad play.
Yeah.
And the PlayerMon and Arcade Network, bottom left, I thought looked really interesting.
Oh, it's connect my wallet.
Hold it's on. Cross-chain. Yeah, the best one is Polygon for this.
Okay.
But they got like a cross chain where you can move the assets from game to game.
Nice.
So I thought that was pretty cool because I knew people that were trying to do that a few years ago. And now it's kind of like everybody's doing it.
So even after you connect your wallet, then I assume I have to, if I click on one that's related.
Like you play for player.
Like mode. I have to be on the Solana network to look at the SolClout one.
Well, what is it? I think that's on Ethereum. If you look right below your cursor, doesn't that say Ethereum
network? Yeah. Yeah. All right. So mainnet. So
yeah, I'm just looking at the Polygon ones right now because, you know, the gas fees are going to be friggin' insane.
Yeah, that's nuts. Ethereum.
I mean, people were cashing out of an airdrop this weekend or this morning. I want to say the Paraswap airdrop that happened. There's also one coming from CowSwap, by the way. So everybody should go just do one swap on CowSwap just so you're eligible. But people were getting dumped 10 grand this morning. I didn't do anything on CowSwap. And then they were all dumping it. But people were like, cost like $400 or $500 in gas fees to dump it on Ethereum.
Oh, brutal.
Because everybody was trying to do it. So
ugh.
I just, you know, I don't know. I'm not moving that much weight to where I'm willing to drop $400.
No way.
Maybe if I was doing 10 grand, yeah.
Yeah, so here, you know, look, here's something that's interesting, right? This is a site, this is a project, right, that's its idea is to be cross-chain, right? I mean, that's the whole point of it. And that's the point of Polkadot, and that's the point of this site, right? But here's how far we have to go. I am in my wallet on a mainnet, Matic, I'm on Polygon. But in order to actually, I think this is more a UI issue on their part, right?
Let's see.
I wouldn't block users from looking at an offering based on the wallet they're on. This is just bad UX, because what I would do is say, okay, I'm going to let people view them and then wait until they're about to take an action before I block them. So what happens is, you guys can't see this though, when I click on view under SolClout private to look at what it is, it says this pool works on Ethereum. Please switch your network to Ethereum. So from a UX perspective, this is just bad form. Right? Don't make the user switch until they're ready to take an action to buy. You're blocking people from looking at something because you're saying, okay, go take another step, switch your network over, wait for it to connect, and then you can look at this, right? That's just silly. That's just bad UX, which is not unusual in the DeFi world. Don't get me wrong. I just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, Yeah, it's like you want them. I mean, you want to make the buying process or engagement process as easy as possible.
Yeah.
And like you said, if you're putting that additional step in there,
I mean,
God knows, I was reading something, 99% of the people out there that are dabbling in crypto still don't even know how to get the Polygon.
No.
Set up different networks.
No. You know,
it's like
I was helping a buddy with that this morning, right? I mean, he's trying to get into Wonderland and, you know, he's buying the AVAX on Coinbase, but this whole concept of copy the address from the wallet, put it in, transfer it over, you know, and he was having issues because the coins weren't getting there. And so we're like trying to figure it out. Well, it turned out Coinbase was having an issue with Avalanche connectivity for some reason. But at the end of the day, when I walked through, I created a bunch of little videos for him. And when I walked through what it takes to do it, it's like, oh, this is pretty bad. You know, it's like, this is pretty rough.
Well, hey,
we have a ways to go.
When you did the Cronus one, because I connected to it and it was a one button push on their website to set the network up. I thought that was beautiful.
Yeah, no, I love when they do that. I love when a site's smart enough to say, okay, let me just add to the network to their wallet for them, you know?
Yeah.
But for him, it was, you know, it was just a process and it's a conceptual issue for people, right? You and I understand different networks, same piece of software, the wallet, but I have to actually connect to that chain in order to use it, right? And so that's something that's difficult for people to understand, especially when they've only ever done centralized exchanges where they're, you know, I buy this, I buy that, I sell this, I sell that. They don't do anything. They don't have a wallet to connect, right? So, yeah. I mean, look, I think we need to get it. There's a lot of things that need to get better, but I see progress every day. But things like this where you're, you know, you're building a site, you want people to invest in something because you're making a cut, you should think about giving them access to see what it is before you make them switch their wallet over. I don't expect that a lot of new people in DeFi are going to be coming to an IDO launch anyway. So
yeah, I don't think so. Cause they're not going to find it. Number one.
Yeah.
But you know, in this Polkadot or Polka Bridge Telegram channel, they got like 57,000 users.
Wow. That's impressive.
So, I mean, that's one I hardly ever get through because every time I turn around, there's 1400 messages. So I'm just like, just look at the pinned message and move on.
I tell you, man, I don't get to half my messages. Like, you know, I if I could kill email, I would, because I have so much to do on chat that email is just a nightmare.
Yeah, I don't do any email anymore.
Really. I do a little bit here and there. You know, I still have some things that I have to do and people that still want it. Like, I'll message somebody about being on the show and, you know, I've got to wait. They'll send a note like, can you please send information to my email address? And I'll be like, really, dude? Seriously? Yeah. You're in DeFi? You want me to send you an email?
Just toss it in the inbox. Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'll do that. Now, I did post an episode today with a guy who I met through Twitter. And we've kind of followed each other. Eric Irvin, who has Invest On Ramp is his company. He's been in the ETF and hedge fund space for quite a while, has a crypto hedge fund called Blockchain Capital. But he has been building for, I guess, 2 years, 3 years now. They've been building a platform that integrates with all of the major trading platforms that financial advisors use. And so they have made custodial crypto access available, but they also have their first DeFi partnership connected. So financial advisors will now be able to use a wallet and connect and buy on behalf of their clients, you know, not only custodial crypto in the interface with reporting built in for whatever stocks they've bought for their clients, whatever, but also DeFi. He told me in the interview, that's $100 trillion under management with financial advisors.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big fucking market. Now, not all $100 trillion of it's going to come into crypto. It'll probably be, you know, 0.5%, but still opening that door is huge, really big.
Isn't 0.5? Are you talking about half of 1%? Or are you talking about?
Yeah. I'm saying even if you only got like, you know, a small percentage of that, that's a major uptick in the overall market cap of crypto.
It's 500 billion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is what I talk about a lot when the institute, I know a lot of people are, you know, romantics and want to, you know, be on the fringe, but it's, you know, the thing about all the institutional money coming and all the boring money coming is that rising tide lifts all boats, man.
It's true.
And not just us, but think about all the people in India and, you know, Africa and places where, you know, a little bit of money changes a life.
That's right.
So, you know, if all of these institutional guys come pouring in, I mean, it elevates the wealth of citizens all around the world. So yep. As much as I did, you know, takes the fun out of it, basically, but it helps everybody.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's why I try to encourage it with people. So I'm glad that you found something like that, because, you know, I've been talking to some wealth managers in DC and, you know, cause they got their clients asking for it, but they don't even know where to start.
Yeah. Well, this on-ramp, tell them on-ramp, on-ramp invest. And that, like I said, it's integrated into major trading systems for these financial advisors. So they don't even have to leave. They don't even have to leave the system they use to manage their clients. They just do it all in one place.
On-ramp invest.
Okay. Yeah. Here, let me,
it's a buddy of mine in DC. He's known this guy for 30 years. Great CPA. You know, he actually has a kid who's mining Ethereum, or a nephew or something, mining Ethereum up in Chicago area. Huh. So, you know, they're all like hearing all the bubbling up from all their kids and nephews and grandkids and everything. And everybody's like, wow, am I missing the boat? And I said, yeah, dude, you are.
Yeah.
I said, but you know, 0.25%, 0.5%, you know, you should be moving them in. So this is happening. This is good.
Yeah, this is great. And he's got a pretty sizable hedge fund, crypto hedge fund, that's growing rapidly. And this is legit, right? This isn't just some startup that came in and said, I'm going to launch this. They have the deals now with all the major platforms. And so I think some good things are going to come from this. And he's a really good guy. You know, he's in the interview, we talked a lot about it. He joked, he started his career off. He launched an ETF based on dividends and quickly realized that it was crap. And so he
boring. There was a stretch at one point when dividends were taxed.
Yeah.
I remember right in like this 06, 04, well, 08. I don't know
he probably had an opportunity, but it took 2.5 years to get the SEC to fucking approve it. Right. Yeah. And so by the time it happened, he was like, ugh, and he was already into crypto. He was checking it out, enjoying it, and started trading it with his own money. His fund, he started with just his own money and then started taking outside investors in 2 years ago. But he's been at this, all of this, since 2016. So anyway, impressive guy. Good interview. Really, really nice guy. And, you know, a true believer on the crypto front. So this isn't just some money play for him. It's you know, he believes in what they're trying to create. So
what is that?
Access to crypto, right? And like I said, they now have a DeFi offering that launched in partnership with Vesper, which I haven't looked at Vesper, but I'm familiar, you know, I've seen it. Impressive that they're already launching DeFi offering.
Yeah, I love that. No, also, I did see some news this morning. I think another ETF got approved.
I thought it was a foreign one. India? I think India approved one.
I saw one in the U.S.
Really?
Like Van, what's that one? Van Eck or something like that? What was on it? Something like that. Yeah. It's a funny name. But, you know, so look, you know, stuff's getting, you know, small steps, of course. But, you know, stuff's moving forward all around. I mean, when I see stuff like this getting built out by hedgies, and I see ETFs getting approved.
Yeah, Van Eck, you're right. It is
Van Eck. Okay.
Yeah, hold on. Let me pop this up.
There was lowest something cost different about it. Yeah,
Bitcoin linked ETF. What does Bitcoin linked mean? Seeks capital investing in standardized cash settled Bitcoin future contracts. Well, it's a start.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think every, you know, we want spot, of course, but
yeah,
this gets everybody comfortable. You know, when I started in crypto, I kind of put my toe in,
yeah,
you know, to see what the frig's going on here, and build up confidence over time. Well, so
it's funny because Eric, when I interviewed him, he said, you know, I asked him specifically, I said, you know, what do you feel? How do you feel about the Bitcoin ETF stuff and why it keeps getting rejected, et cetera? And he said, well, I'll tell you how I really feel about it. He goes, I came from the ETF world, but when we saw that there was an IBM ETF, we knew that ETFs had jumped the shark because you don't need an IBM ETF. He says, I feel the same way about Bitcoin. I really feel like people should be just buying Bitcoin in a custodial setting. He said, but the other side of that is that like what you're just saying, right? This opens the door to legitimization in people's minds, and it makes them feel more comfortable and safer, that it's disconnected from the real scary thing. Right. So it makes sense.
I think a lot of people probably don't even know the difference between futures and spot. So
that's a good point.
They just see Bitcoin ETF. And
I
know my mom told me, I talked to her yesterday, she bought some BITO, you know, that first Bitcoin ETF. And I was like, cool. So,
nice.
She's 78, something like that, 79, 78. Yeah. So, the fact that, now we got both ends of the spectrum, teens, 20s, all the way through 80-year-olds, basically.
Yeah.
Moving into this space. I mean, this is what we all wanted. Or at it's least awesome. What I wanted. So it's good stuff all around. I mean, now I think we just have to figure out, getting the DeFi more up into, mainstream of even the crypto people.
Right.
So that they know it's out there. Because I don't think they understand. I think everybody gets spooked by impermanent loss and, which, is, just Google impermanent loss, anybody who's listening, and look at the AMM stuff. I mean, it's pretty amazing, but it does move the numbers around.
Yeah.
So people get scared of that. I mean, I hear people, it gets me sometimes even.
Yeah.
But, there's so many strategies you can play with it beyond futures and spot. And that's what I like about it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's cool. That's very cool. Look, the end of the day, the more penetration into the minds of big money, little money, average Joes, whatever, the better off we all are. And that's ultimately the big time goal is let's get more exposure. Let's get more people in it. The more people that get in it, the more difficult it is for government regulators to take severe actions, which will harm the big investors. So, that's a thing. Provides a firewall.
Well, as long, this is like a test bed for them in a way.
Yeah.
It's like, and as long as there's no like crazy shit happens or, somebody, something negative that happens in crypto sometimes, then I think then we keep going to the next step.
Yeah. Or
the cool part is even if something does happen, then they figure out, these, not us, but the regulator types figure out, wait, how do we plug that hole?
Yep.
How do we save the consumers from that?
Yeah.
Or, save anybody from that.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, small steps. What is it? Confucius say, journey of 10,000 miles begins with very first step.
That's true.
So, this is all good. All good.
I'm impressed with your resistance on the accent there because I felt like you were going to go
there.
I know.
I almost was going to go. I do that sometimes. But, it's like daughter points out to me. She's like, dude, it's hysterical, but it pisses people off.
Exactly.
And I'm like, I'm not trying to piss anybody off.
So. Yeah, don't go there. That's good. I could feel and sense the resistance you were doing to what you and I both grew up doing. So.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, we used to, if you grew up in, when we did, there was obviously a different world. It was, the old sticks and stones, break my bones, but words will never hurt me. So we didn't fight over words and things like that. We didn't worry about it. Where now everybody's so sensitive to words.
Yeah. I think in that case though, it's sensitive to stereotypes about the people. And I think that's completely understandable. Speaking of which, last night I was, my son and I were talking about the fact that like Marvel is one of the biggest weapons against racism, sexism, homophobia, the whole bit, man, because that movie we watched last night, they are normalizing everything. Like there's an entire generation of people who, if you tell them somebody shouldn't be able to do something or something shouldn't be seen, they're just going to laugh in your face because their entire lives have been
seeing it.
And it's impressive, right? One of the things I always say, because I have a 12-year-old daughter, is I love the fact that from the beginning of when we started watching all these more recent Marvel movies, women have been in leadership roles. And it's my kids, it's not even unusual to my kids that there are women superheroes. When I was a kid, that, you know, Wonder Woman was more of a sex object than a superhero, you know. Now they're badass. So anyway,
I don't know why I got
on that tangent.
No, it's because we have kids. So we see how they're different from when we grew up.
Yeah.
And you're right. They are socialized to, you know, my daughter went to, you know, a public magnet in Miami for a number of years. And, you know, and I'd go in there and it's like, you know, all kinds of people, you know, it's like 65% people of color, you know, 35%, you know, everybody else. And I don't mean like, you know, American, I'm going to just use labels, white people. I mean, you know, South American, white Hispanics, Cuban white Hispanic. It's got everybody. And, you know, and lots of Haitian kids. And when they're little, they don't have any preconceptions.
There's nothing. You know,
they're taught to behave that way. You know?
Yeah.
So
that's why I always tell people one of the best things about my kids growing up in Miami is that they're surrounded. Look, there are 109 languages spoken in this county. That's like astounding, right? I mean, we are a melting pot, but and I think that's happening more and more all over the country, right? Even in the whitest parts of America, there's all kinds of people realizing how mixed everything is. So I'm excited about it. I mean, last night they had essentially these Eternals is a type of superhero. I won't tell the whole story, but you know, a gay black man married badass superhero, right? Well, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, would you have seen that on screen, him kissing his husband? No, you would not. You absolutely would not. You know, the world has changed dramatically, and I'm glad to see it. So
you remember when those movies came out back, I don't know when, but like, remember The Crying Game, I think it was?
Oh, yeah.
Forest Whitaker, and how that was just so like shocking to so many people. Yeah. And then there was another one with Matthew Broderick in it. And I can't remember what, but it was like a man-to-man kiss in that movie. And again, it just blew everybody. This was in maybe the 90s.
Yeah.
And everybody was just floored. But now it's just, who gives a shit? You know, it's like everywhere.
Exactly. I mean,
that's the thing, I think. If you know, why does anybody care? I mean, I love it. My daughter plays games, you know. She's out there just killing people left and right as a chick character, a girl character.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's right. There are the options. They aren't being trained to be homemakers anymore.
No.
You know, they're being trained to be anything they want to be.
That's right.
And that's what I think is great. And that goes everywhere. And so that's why I kind of feel like when people who have been in a disadvantaged position in this society hear stupid words from other people, I just feel like it's my feeling is, and maybe that's just my perspective and I'm wrong, but I think it's just ignore that shit, because if people are saying that, they're just stupid.
Yeah, it's true. I think we have to get a lot better at saying, okay, people need the freedom to say whatever the hell they want to say. And if we don't like it, we have the freedom to tell them we don't like it, or we have the freedom to ignore them and not let them interact with those of us that don't like it, right?
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want. So I think you're right. Look, I think we're kind of shifting back a bit to saying, wait a minute, the more we submerge hate and anger, the worse it gets, because it feels marginalized. Yeah. And at times it's, you know, it's funny. I used to say, I grew up in Texas and Oklahoma, and I moved to New Jersey, and I'd be in a room in New Jersey and the only person of color would leave the room, and not inevitably, but occasionally someone would make some racist comment after the person of color left the room. And I was like, wow, here I am in the Northeast, where everything is supposed to be progressive and liberal and people are more open-minded, when in fact it was worse than living in Texas, where in Texas you knew who the racists were, right? In New Jersey, everybody was hiding it. And I was like, this is nuts, man. I think I'd almost much rather know who they are than not know who they are.
Yeah, no, I think that's look, blue collar, white populations. And back then, you know, you got to think everybody came here through New York And yeah. So in New York, there were like 100, you said 109 languages in Miami-Dade County. There were probably 109 neighborhoods in New York City that were all based on different ethnicities or religions or whatever.
Right.
You know, so then when they go out to the rest of the country, so then they're all, you know, the people on top are living large, but they have all those groups competing with each other for resources. So I think that's where a lot of the visual racism comes in and things like that. And it's just, you know, they're trained that way. I mean, I don't want to get into stories about some of my relatives, but, you know, 30 years ago. But, you know,
my mom's mom was a total racist.
Oh, when you think these are Irish, so, you know, they could get pretty racist too. But, you know, back then.
Which is ironic for when you consider how the Irish were treated when they came to this country. That's the irony of it. Anyway,
everybody wants to stick the boot on somebody else.
Exactly.
So, you know, everybody fights for some like dominant position or whatever. Yeah. But, you know, it that thing moves on. I mean, other thing is that in these small towns in America, you know, they were all white. Yeah. So it's like they, you know, visual cues, somebody, person of color comes up, all of a sudden everybody's like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It was like Blazing Saddles or something like that. But, you know,
Great movie.
There was no like African Americans in any kind of leading role in any TV show until like the mid 60s.
Yeah.
So, you know, in time being relative and all, it's a pretty recent situation where everybody's kind of been trying to get along. So,
yeah. I think when we in popular culture, we normalize it. It makes everything better. Okay, so let's call this the DGen play of the day. Crystal.vaults, chronos.crystl.financevaults. This is not investment advice. Shit, Joe, you didn't remind me to put the banner.
Fault. I think everybody knows we're not.
This is not financial advice. We are not your financial advisors. We have no idea what we're doing. But this is paying 11.19% daily, which is kind of fun. And if you're willing to lose it, I put 1400 in, I'm willing to lose. And so far I've made, while we're talking, I made another $23, Joe.
So
this is our DGEN play of the day. I think the movie you may not have seen that you should see is Blazing Saddles for the day. What do you say, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. That's the movie of the day.
Classic.
It's got some language in there for, you know, the younger folk.
If they're watching us, they're cool with the language, Joe.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I just don't, you know, they're using some words in there that you would never use nowadays, but it's, you know, I think back then we used to all, change our consciousness before we went in to see that movie. And, you know, so you just laugh your ass off through the whole thing. You know?
I think I'm going to make my son watch that movie. I want him to see it.
Yeah.
That's good.
But I saw some good pools on there was something going on. Well, Undefined. There were a couple of good pools rolling over there that you should look at. And of course, Quickstop has some nice pools right now. And, you know, on Phantom, I think that, you know, there was decent stuff in Spooky Swap. And then, of course, Trader Joe's on Avalanche. So
yeah,
go to all those and hit the APY sort button and see what's there and see if it matches.
I forgot I wanted to show folks this. This is so cool. If you're into the Olympus Dow and the Ohm Forks, Multifarm added this weekend, which is so cool for me because I love them and I'm in a few already, right? Mm-hmm. So you go to multifarm.fi. It's alpha.multifarm.fi, right? Now, you know, disclaimer, sometimes the APR and APYs in here are not correct. It's a difficult thing connecting to all these smart contracts. I mean, look at all the networks they're connected to, right? This is not an easy thing, finding all the pools, all the yield farms. But if you go to advanced search in here and you choose yield type 3.3, you get to see all the clones that they can track on the chains that they're tracking, right? Wait. So Ohm, Time, Squid, Snowbank is in here, Klima's in here. So you got all the, or not all, because there's probably seven. I heard Zeus the other day say there's 70 plus right now. But you've got the major cross-chain forks of Ohm, of Olympus Dow, which is really cool because then you can, you know, check in here and see where the APRs are with each of these. This is not APY on most of these. These are APR. This is one Dow, which is I'm trying to remember what blockchain that was, but
are you on the assets tab?
Yep, assets tab. So
okay.
Multifarm.fi, assets tab, yeah. And then you click the advanced search button.
Okay, wait, where is that?
On the right, the purple button.
Oh, got it. Yeah, of course. Yeah, right.
And then on yield type, you click 3-3. And you'll look. I mean, there's all this other shit I didn't realize was in here, right? Like LP stake, lending, single stake. So you could pick, oh, they got triple single stake. So you could find all the single stake pairs, the single stake opportunities where you don't want to have to worry about impermanent loss. But I thought this was really cool to be able to track all the Olympus DAO forks.
That is really clever. I mean, because I was looking at them this morning, the stuff on Avalanche sent them in. And, you know, Snowbank, I saw the TVL was going up. Well, the price is going up too, which is good. And, you know, Time Wonderland just keeps on chugging.
Yeah, man. So I'm happy with that.
I like that.
Yeah.
You know, Blizzard Finance is kind of down, but, you know, it's a matter
I think that's by association on the name, because there was a rug pull on another project called Blizz this weekend.
Oh, that explains it.
Yep.
I wasn't sure because I got $2 billion in TVL. So I was like,
yeah, I think it'll recover. I think it'll recover. I think it people thought it was the same Blizz and started yanking their shit out and dumping it, which is probably a good opportunity right now, right? There's Exodia, which we've talked about on Phantom. Here's a Binance one, BSC.
Also, look
one at one DAO is on Harmony. That's right.
I see Klima here, you know, and Klima. I don't know what it's. I've been looking at that. It's been like in the 1500 to 1700 range last few days.
Well, and they got down. They got, I think, how much did it? I can't remember how much it was. Was it $500 million in carbon credits in the open market with this?
Yeah,
I mean, it's actually working, right?
No. Well, you know their strategy. It's to crank the price of carbon credits up.
Yeah.
That's the whole strategy, pump that price up. And the rationale is that, look, if you're a nasty coal-fired plant polluting the shit out of everything, you have to go buy carbon credits to offset the carbon that you're polluting with.
Right.
So they've been conspiring. Well, I don't want to say this, but for some reason, the carbon credit market has been staying super, super low, really low.
Right.
So when dirty polluters need to offset their stuff, they can go buy it for cheap.
Yeah.
Which kind of makes the cost of polluting, it makes it profitable to pollute, basically.
Right.
So they've tried to take that price and they've moved it up. I think I saw it at like $5.50 or something.
It's recently. Awesome. It's
and
awesome.
It was like 3 cents forever.
Yeah.
So now that nasty coal plant has to come in and pay real money to offset their carbon credits,
right,
or they have to convert
right
to cleaner which, coal or something. Or
which
shut down
goes or back to Klima, right? So Klima earns on the higher carbon price buy, and then we all earn if they have to go be more responsible. So
yeah,
it's awesome.
And a lot of people I knew when this launched, they didn't buy Klima, they bought carbon credits.
Smart.
Yeah. So and then they've been dumping them. So
why didn't
you know,
we do that, Joe?
I don't know. I was
what
just
the going, hell, dude?
It was another one that I just had too much going on, and I just wasn't sure if I, you know, I'm in one chat.
Well, you have to believe that they're going to be successful too, right? So there is that on that bet. You got to believe that indirectly, Klima will have enough money come in to be able to buy it to push the market price up. So there is some risk there.
But now, you know, I mean, obviously, these energy guys have a ton of money, so now I'm sure they're aware of this, and they're going, okay, what do we got to do to push that price back down? So you're going to see an interesting, you know, which could be anything from trying to get control of Klima, perhaps through the governance tokens, or anything to try to get that price down. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out over the next year. But I think it's a great play. I mean, people that are like anti, what's the gal's name? Greta Thunberg?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that just don't like her. And I'm like, and it's like climate denier type people.
Right.
And so it's kind of polarized. But to me, I'm like, you know, it's like, this is a good play.
Yep.
And it makes sense. It's capitalistic and it creates a social good, you know, and that's the way it needs to be. So keep an eye on this Klima, guys and gals, because I think it goes somewhere, or at least it'll be, you know, you can feel better about
yourself. I think it'll have an impact, and it's a way for you to make money staking it and be actually doing something, right? Feel like you're doing something. So I definitely think it has potential. I wanted to check out this single stake, what's available in the single stake world on APR. I think these first few results of 10,000 or more are wrong, because I don't think anybody's paying over 10,000 percent APR on B&B right now. So
yeah,
as,
I doubt that.
As much as nice as that would be, I don't think that's the case. But look, you've got, you can hold Cake at 1606 APR. But these are all single staking pools that you can pull up with the filter. There's Geist, 341.
Single stake. Let's see them.
Now this this is claiming wrapped BNB at 325%. I just have a hard time believing it.
Oh, so, wait, I'm in the wrong single stake. Sorry, I'm in the.
I picked all three of the single stakes in there. Oh yeah, this looks a little suspicious. This site does not. I'm too many badges, and
lots of convex stuff. Yeah, because that's Curve's sort of play in the Curve wars against Yearn and.
If you can't even fix your HTML to have the smart contract font size change or wrap, I'm out.
Yeah,
red alert. Don't even bother me.
Almost all of this is convex except for the Trader Joe Badger. Badger has a network. Is that Badger DAO?
Badger DAO is BTC staking and wrapping, right?
I think so. Yeah, and then I see Alchemix, single staking ALCX for 51. I mean, that's great because you're throwing $100,000 of BTC and getting 52% interest, and then you're borrowing 50.
Yep.
You know, that they pay back for you.
Exactly.
So you get the 50 grand plus the 52% on the $100,000. Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Hell yeah.
What else do we got here? Banana, that's Ape Swap, right? Yeah, I don't really do much there. Geist, yeah, look, 35 million. I mean, that's up. You know what I did? I pulled out of that liquidity pool because it was chewing through some of my Phantom, and I just single staked everything. So
yeah,
you know, and basically, so I got like, you know, six times the number of Geist I started with.
Right.
Still puts me ahead of, you know, I DCA'd a couple of times. So now I'm just letting it ride. I think my best dates are in January. So now I don't have to look at it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. Yeah. You know, yeah, because now you're locked. You're like, okay, yeah. I can't get out. Fuck it.
Yeah. So now I just forget about it and find something else. So because I'll tell you that, you know, the first half of the year I spent trading on sexes or sexual exchanges. And that was fun because you have a basket of 20 and, you know, every day something's up 20%. You sell it and buy the one that's down and you just rotate in and out and in and out. And I could do like 10X every couple of months with that strategy. But, you know, you're up all the time and this and that. It's fun. And I'm trying to do the same with DeFi, but, you know, there's four more variables to deal with. And so your mind starts spinning a little fast. And so now I'm trying to go back to the single stuff just because I want to control the equation a little bit better versus, you know, all of this other stuff. But, you know, that's why I did it.
Look at this Crystal Farm still. You're earning ETH if you stake Crystal at 185,000%.
Okay, hold on. I'm coming into Crystal right
now. And there's only 46 crystals staked in here right now. This thing must have just spun up.
Yeah, they
Shit. Right, I need to dump some meat. I need to dump some crystal in there. Like real quick.
Let me see. Where are you at? Which one? Mines, pools, vaults,
pools. And then sort by APR.
Okay. Earn ETH, 185. I didn't sort. Oh, 1850%.
No, that's 100.
That's the one you're looking at. Or 185,000%.
You're earning ETH for staking crystal, and it's auto. No, it's not auto. This one doesn't auto, but still.
Wait, I'm putting some in right now. Hold on. I pulled.
I don't think I have any fucking crystal in my wallet. That pisses me off.
I don't think I sold it. I think I kept it because I saw it was at 52 cents. It's like 48 now. It didn't seem to be tanking. The other stuff was going down, so I was.
Man, I got 0.224 crystal. That sucks. I have anything I can sell?
I'm rolling into this one right now. Hold on. Stake.
All right, I'm gonna go sell some shit.
I just put 700 crystal in.
I mean, you're earning like ETH.
Yeah, earning ETH.
Nuts.
I mean, ETH looks to me. I was in that Material Indicators channel this morning and I saw the fractals.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that BTC fractals looking pretty good.
Yeah, but You know what? Yep. That I will tell you, and that's my company, but I will tell you that it makes me nervous to see Parabolic in the fractal.
Yeah.
And did you see the ETH fractal?
Yeah, sideways.
So I don't, when they don't align like at all, I get skeptical. For Fred to post it, for Fred to post it means he has pretty good confidence in the way the data mapped. So I don't know. I don't buy the Parabolic on the fractal, but I definitely buy kind of the sideways and up a little.
Well, you know, it sort of fits the narrative because they're supposed to be the BTC move first, then the ETH move, you know, then big cap, then all the way down, NFTs, all that. And so I thought it was kind of intriguing. And, you know, we'll see what happens. What was it? It's like the 18th, right?
Yeah.
That fractal was saying it. So I kind of more enjoy watching it to see if it fulfills, because it's such a voodoo science to me, you know, and it's so like, you know, you're like, what the fuck? How can you do that with fractals? But then it seems to be kind of on most of the time. So it is
highly accurate. I mean, it's like very accurate, but
I want to see what happens with that one. Cause you know, I usually save them when they're posted just so I can come back and see how they fit it up, you know, if they hit it or not. And it's not exact science, of course, but he tends to be right more often than not.
Now the math usually is really spot on with those fractal charts, and we're going to have them in the dashboard in the new version. So people will be able to get them whenever they want for whatever pair they want eventually. So that's cool too. But I got nervous when I saw the divergence between, Bitcoin and Ethereum on that one. That just made me a little nervous. All right, I'm
making it. Sorry, buddy. I dropped the yield for you. It's down to 11,000%.
Joe, what the fuck, man?
I got 685 of those 731 crystal in there.
Did you look at this? I'm looking at the chart for crystal. Looks like somebody did a fat finger and drove it up to 15 and a half
dollars
today earlier. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts. All right, let me connect and dump mine. So there's not a lot of crystal in the yield here. I mean, not a lot of ETH that they're offering here. Because I have a feeling when I dump in, it's going to dump into, it's going to drop down to like 40%.
Well, let's see.
We'll see.
Don't come in with like $5,000 or anything.
I'm only putting in 900 and something.
Okay, I only put in $326.93.
Why isn't it loading up for me? Oh, here we go. All right, come on. Where's the stake? Here we go. Stake, max, confirm.
One thing I do like about crystal is it's fast.
Yeah.
I sometimes quick swap can get a little clunky. You know, Define occasionally gets a tiny bit clunky.
All right, we're staked. Let's see what I did to it. Because if you dropped it by 170, I'm gonna probably drop it down to like 20% with my 961.
I think we'll probably be in this 1,000 still. Okay, yeah. Then refresh.
Here we go. No, 5,000. Yeah, we're in the thousands, but only 5,000. Yeah.
All right, so everybody else stay away from this one.
Yeah, nobody wants to. It's too dangerous. Don't come into this one. Really dangerous. Yeah. You know,
maybe tomorrow.
High risk. High risk pool.
Yeah, dangerous. Stay away. Danger. But, you know, we'll sell out. I'll pull out like later on today, then you guys can come in.
That's funny as shit.
But yeah, still 5,000% APR. I'll take that.
I'll take it. Hell yeah. Let's see what that calculates out. How many ETH we earn per $1,000? I'm about a half a thousand. I put in like $450.
Well,
so half that, 0.015 ETH in a day, 0.16 ETH in 7 days.
That's not
Jesus
bad.
Christ. 30 days, 10 ETH, so 5 ETH. I'll take that. That's turning really $400 into $20,000. I probably won't be here in 30 days on this, but still.
Yeah, hell yeah. No, the best part is the crystal I just put in there was all crystal they gave me from the Azuki-matic pool.
Nice.
So earned. I'm not even playing with my money.
See, I staked all that into that Kronos pool this weekend. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But so this whatever.
One. So I let's all watch this.
I don't
one.
Know what I dropped. All right, we'll keep an eye on it. We'll track it every day and see. I mean, look, here, the bottom line on this one is if crystal loses value, it sucks, but we're still earning ETH,
right?
So everybody stay the fuck out of this.
Yeah, you know, you know that ETH is, well, we know what's going on with ETH. It's going to, you know, it's, the supply is going down.
Yeah.
It's coming off the exchanges regularly too. They got like about, I think it's about 12, 13% is still on the exchanges.
Yeah.
And it keeps going down.
Yeah.
So to me, I mean, what I think, and again, not financial advice, just kind of what I think is going to happen based upon everything I've read is that, you know, BTC goes first.
Yeah.
And that's why that fractal was so exciting to me, because I'm like, oh, there's the BTC move. But the move was to like what, 72 or 74?
Here, I'll pull like it that. Up. Let me see.
This is you can find these guys in Telegram, Material Indicators, everyone. Yeah. It's a great channel. Unfortunately, it sometimes is the last one I get to. But now I've kind of tried to rotate it back to the first one I look at.
All right. So this is
show this that heat map too when you get a chance. But
so this is the Bitcoin fractal, and essentially it's showing that 2 days from now we should see some kind of parabolic rise. When I see a parabolic rise in our, these are my company's fractals, right? When I see a parabolic rise in these fractals, I get very nervous. And because I'm more likely to go with the average, which is the blue line, instead of this green line, which is the best match, right? So essentially the fractal is trying to match against historic data and determine where the price is going to end up. I will say this though, historically these fractals, when they match for us from our data, when they match from our data, they do very, very well. They're never exactly the same price nor the exact same time frame. They're just a general directional cue, but they do well. So my gut was, ooh, big parabolic move in the fractal. I don't always count on that in a fractal because it's so predictive that it makes me suspicious. But I did like the fact that, you know, this pumps up to whatever, above 68,000 potentially, even if it does the average instead of the best match. The next one, this is also why I was a little more skeptical, because the Ethereum move, there's no match in the Ethereum move, right? 17th is here. There's no up. It's actually down. I'm actually putting more personal stock in this one than I am in the Bitcoin one. So I'm actually thinking that rather than a parabolic rise, we could actually start seeing a trend downwards here. We don't have a longer time frame fractal out yet because there wasn't a match past this, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Now the average one, the blue line, the best match is a down, but the average one, the blue line, is actually very similar to what the Bitcoin one was doing, right? So anyway, and then this is the order book data for Bitcoin. Well, that was as of probably early wee hours of the morning, 7:45 this morning when he posted it. But this shows current order book support levels and resistance levels, which is sitting at 67, 68. I could load this live, but I'm not going to bother. And then this shows 70 is this bright white resistance line here. That's a lot of fucking resistance right there, right?
Now, we're BTC again. Sorry, I was thinking about
that. Yeah, it's BTC. Yeah, and then down here you can see the size of the orders, right? So the green line is orders that are between 1,000 and 10,000 each. The brown line is orders of 1 million to 10 million. So you got some whales going higher up that are looking like they're interested, but you have a whole mix of folks on the lower end that are down on the sell side. So,
oh, wait, that's order size. Oh, shit. I always thought that was the amount of in the wallet. buying?
This is the order sizes. So this orange is 100,000 to 1,000. Green is 1,000 to 10,000. Red is 10,000 to 100,000. Purple is 100,000 to 1 million. And brown is 1 million to 10 million.
Yeah, there was something. I can't remember.
So brown is your whales line, right?
Yeah. So you want to see that.
Yeah.
You definitely want to see those orders.
Yeah.
But are those all buys or are they buys and sells?
Those are buys and sells. The higher up on the chart, the more likely it is a buy. The lower down on the chart, it's a sell. So.
Got it. Well, you know, it's funny because there was a lot of discussion last week. There was somebody in there, it's an institutional buyer, that was just doing these small buys continuously for like 48 hours,
right,
trying to hide it. And everybody's scrambling around trying to put all the wallets together to figure out who it is. And it was some big investor in, it was a Wall Street institutional group of some type that was in there hiding the orders.
Uh-huh.
So that's why they route the stuff all over the place. This is just finance, right?
Yeah,
this
and to be clear, we have seen patterns of bot orders in our data. So we know that whales are breaking their orders up into small pieces. So when you see the whales actually in there, then it's really like, oh, holy shit, this is pretty serious, because they usually will hide them.
Because they're not even bothering to hide. They're trying to get in.
Exactly. Or maybe they're trying to send a message.
Or it's and, new.
No, they can pull those orders too. We see that a lot. We see in the fire chart that those orders get pulled out. So you have to be careful. It's not like, you know, it's just like anything else. Be careful.
Yeah. No, I mean, but what's good, see, when you take that and then look at ETH, I know we got to go in a second and I'll wrap this up. We talked a lot about social issues today. Sorry.
Yeah, we did.
But just catching up from the weekend. You know, when I see that range, like you look at the ETH range, the 45 to 5,000 is where the bracket looks to be to me. Lots of support below it, you know, a lid on top. But then you see it move a little, then you know stuff's happening. And so when he shows these bars on BTC, you know, that bottom one, that looks like the channel to me.
Yeah.
You know, those two. Because that's where all the big, was that like the max pain point or something?
This is your best support. It was, but look, the orders got pulled here.
Yeah.
So down here at 53, 54, you had a nice line of support down there, but that's gone.
Yeah.
That's gone. Another day, I'll run through all the fire charts for everybody to kind of see how they work live.
Yeah.
Because this isn't live. This is just an image. When you're looking at it live, when you mouse over, you can see how much is or how what the total orders are in a given line. You know, the brighter the color, the more in the order line level. So yellow is like 35 million worth. So this white is probably about 40 million in orders of resistance at 70.
Yeah. So I use this stuff, everyone, as guidelines. So I look at this and I'm like, okay, it looks cool. And then when I look at everything else, I'm not worried about committing into something else. Or when I see that BTC fractal, I'm like, maybe when I'm sweeping stuff out, I should be sweeping the BTC for the next couple of days just to see what happens.
Yeah.
And if it, you know, worst case scenario, you're just holding more BTC.
Yep.
Best case scenario, you know, you're taking profit.
Exactly.
So they're good things to like put into your overall composite analytic package.
Yeah.
Trying to like think what to do, you know, on top of exchange, transfers, on top of, you know, all the other, like the liquidity, there's other ones that show the liquidity different ways, like Kingfisher and stuff. I like to look at that occasionally because it's a slightly different visual, just to make it see, and that's on like all the platforms, I think. So there's all kinds of things you can find out there if you just research. And instead of just cousin Bobby telling you to buy shitcoin ABC and you throw money on it, because you don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So.
All right. I'm good, Joe.
Me
everybody
too.
Everybody go right. Stream Blazing Saddles. I don't even know if it's available or if you have to pay for it, but great flick. And, you know, if you're into, you want to check out Kronos, you want to play with a new blockchain, go check out kronos.crystal.finance. And don't ape into our ETH pool, please.
Yeah, that's where I'm, you know, going to try to bank some ETH.
Joe and I are getting rich.
Yeah. But, you know, lots of other pools, the PBR USDT pool, PBR listed on KuCoin. It's there now.
Yeah.
A big announcement coming on an investor in PBR.
Oh.
So I mean, this is all stuff I get out of the Telegram channel. So it's not like I'm talking to them. But, you know, and people could be making shit up, of course. But,
of course,
you know, you just kind of like take it as a grain of salt and just use it as your overall, you know, kind of your raw intel before you or raw data before you make decisions.
Yep.
But anyhow,
absolutely. Have a great day, everybody. Joe, have a good one.
Cheers, buddy.
Please like, share, retweet, yada, 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 if you like what we're doing, folks. And thanks for all the love in the comments on YouTube. Take care.
All right. I'll give you a call in a second, Brad.
See you, buddy. Bye.